We know the Parshas Vayakel primarily discusses the Avodas HaMishkan. Parshas Vayakel primarily discusses the different details, different things that were brought into the Mishkan. Bnei Yisrael bringing the material to the Mishkan. And the construction, the making of the different Kalim of the Mishkan, that's basically the entire pasuk. It's the entire parasha. If you look at the parasha, it's one of those parashas, very, very little Rashi, almost entirely repetitive of Parshas Truma. A very, very good question that needs attention is why exactly the Torah feels the need to write this entire parasha again. When we saw this, almost every detail was already taught to us earlier in Parshas Truma. It's a very good question, which I'm not going to discuss today. I want to discuss one pasuk in the sixth parasha that is a very, very perplexing pasuk that I think, please God, we'll be able to take a very, very important message from the pasuk or from the pshat that we're going to give into this pasuk. Beginning of Sheni, it says like this: each man whose heart carried him to be involved in the malacha came to the Mishkan, came forth. So, and everybody whose spirit pushed him in the direction to come to the Mishkan, they brought as Trumas Hashem Lelechas Olam Moed Ulechol Avodas Olam Yakosh. They brought different donations to the Mishkan. Now the pasuk says the following thing: Vayavou Ha'anashim Al Hanashim. Literally translated as the men came Al Hanashim. What exactly that means? Let's finish the pasuk first. It says Kol Nidivleiv, each person that was had a very, very good spirit at heart. He brought with him chach v'nezem, different pieces of jewelry, kol kli zahav, etc., etc. What's this phrase, vayavou ha'anashim al-anashim? What does that mean? Comes along Rashi and says, al-anashim, you know what it means? Al-anashim, im-anashim. It means the men came together with their wives, with the women. Okay. Usmukhan aleihem, they were coming together in unison. Then there's a parenthesis in Rashi, and he quotes Unculus. Unculus translates the following. Unculus says, you know what Al means? Al means on. The men came, not came as we'll see in a second, but Vayavo Anashim, Anashim literally means on. What does that mean on? Says Unculus, says Rashi, because he doesn't understand Vayavo to mean that they came, but rather that they brought. And what they bring? Ratzalomar, Sheviu Chach Vanezem Beodam Al Hanashim. While the jewelry was still on their wives, they brought the jewelry to the Mishkan. In other words, what happened according to Unculus, according to his understanding of the pasuk, like this: the men came with their wives and they went for a stroll to the Mishkan. And the women were wearing their nicest jewelry. And they wore the jewelry until the last minute. And then a minute before they had to give it up, they took off their jewelry, they gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, here's the jewelry for the Mishkan. And the simple question which Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, in his Sefer, Darash Moshe, asks is the following: why? Why the dramatics, if you will? Why couldn't they take off their jewelry when they got home and put it in the plastic bag, a Ziploc bag? Remember those Ziploc bags from America? The ones that, like, you know, they change color when the zipper goes across. Put in a Ziploc bag, and bring it to the Mishkan. Are they going to wear their jewelry and, like, make a whole dramatic show at the end? And before they come to the and give it, they take it off their ears, take it off their necks, their fingers. Why all the drama in the bringing in of the Mishkan? This is the question Moshe asks. And he answers the following beautiful answer. And here's the yisur that I wanted to share with you. And it's as follows. Says the Moshe Feinstein, there was an amazing lesson being taught over here. Don't think, he says, that the women didn't like their jewelry. Don't think, he says, you know what? It was old jewelry anyway. It was, you know, something which is not so meaningful to them. They didn't really care about it too much. They're happy to get rid of it. It's like a used car, you know, 1-800 cars for kids, you know, that old jalopy that you want to give away because it's just costing you more to keep in your garage than it is to, you know, a charity organization to get more for it. No, it wasn't like that. They loved the jewelry. They appreciated the jewelry. It was maybe a beautiful ring. a diamond necklace. It was gorgeous. And he wanted it so badly. But you know what? There was a higher purpose. There was a higher cause. There was something greater to give it to. So they wore it till the last minute to show that the reason they were giving up is not because they didn't care about it. Of course they cared about it. It was very important to them. But there was something even more important. There was something that even trumped their own excitement, their own enthusiasm, having these pieces of jewelry on their body and adorning themselves. And that was the Melachas HaMishkan. Says the Moshe Feinstein, I'm going to try to elaborate on this idea a little bit. This is a very, very basic and important message for us in our lives, as teaching us, in teaching us how we are to be Ovdei Hashem. I'd like to divide and explain this in three areas. One in our, really two areas. One in our performance of mitzvos, and the second one in our learning of Torah. There's a mitzvah we know that we don't have a chance yet to do nowadays. Hopefully we'll have a chance to do it soon. Mitzvah Hashem, we have Beis HaMikdash. That's mitzvah of Bikurim. What's Bikurim? Where's Bikurim found? In which parsha? Where's the main parsha of Bikurim found? Come on. Where's it found?
Naso.
Close. Kisavo. Very good. Parshas Kisavo. You're towards the end of the Torah. That's how you're close. In Parshas Kisavo, the Torah brings the parsha of Bikurim. What's the Bikurim? So the Mishnayos describe Mishnayos Bikurim. You know what happened? The farmer went down and he planted and he worked and he took care of his. He was Choresh, he was Zoreya, he was Kotzer, he was Ma'aman on Shabbos Chas V'Shalom. He went through all the different work to make these beautiful fruit ready. Oh, and finally, his first pomegranate grows. And he goes down to the field and he ties around the beautiful ribbon around it and he says, these are going to be for Bikurim. Those Bikurim that he worked so hard on. And he literally invests, not like us, we go to a store, we go buy a nice pomegranate, a beautiful red pomegranate, we take out the seeds and put it in our salad. No. And he sweated by his brows. The sweat of his brows were in that pomegranate. His first pomegranates were the most precious to him. After all, he worked so hard and finally comes out his pomegranates. And you'd expect, what should he do? The first thing he should do is to call his whole family in and say, hey, children, grandchildren, everybody come. Let's enjoy the pomegranate. Let's make a pomegranate drink and pomegranate juice and we'll make pomegranate salad and let's have delicious rimonim. Yummy, yummy. No, no, no. Says the Torah. Take your first pomegranate, that's one of the most precious to you, and bring them to Yerushalayim. And give them to the Kohen. And recognize they come from Hashem. And recognize that, you know what? They're very precious to you. And they're very important to you. But there's something even more important than you eating your pomegranates. There's a recognition that, you know what? There's a higher authority. There's a higher meaning. There's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Hashem runs the world. And He wants you to do something which is more elevated, more lofty, without what you're doing. Rabbosai, let's talk for a second about mitzvah tzedakah. Anybody in this room, be honest with yourself. Anybody in this room not like money? We all like money. Come on. I think you once told me and appreciate that you'd be willing to spend like $12 for a Gatorade on top of some mountain somewhere. So,
$8,
whatever. We all love our money. Who doesn't love money? Money is something which is a natural liking towards. Some people like it. Some people love it. Some people are infatuated with it. And then comes the Torah and says, you know what? There's mitzvah tzedakah. Now, what's my attitude towards mitzvah tzedakah? Is my attitude towards tzedakah, you know what? Money is pointless anyway. Money is meaningless anyway. I may as well just give it to the ani. Money is, what's money? It's vanity. What can money get you anyway? No. That's not my attitude, says the Torah, says the Moshe Feinstein. My attitude is, you know what? I like money. Not only do I like money, I worked very hard for the money. I invested time and effort. And I finally got my paycheck. And you know what the Torah says? There's a mitzvah called Maaser. 10% of your money goes to tzedakah. 10%. Before I even start paying my bills, before I start paying my heating bill for the freezing cold winter, shout out to the Americans out there, for the freezing cold winter, there's the heat galore. Not the ones in LA, the ones in LA probably and in Florida are not suffering so much, but the ones in America are like, All they want to say, all the, in America, the ones in New York, all they say, and you speak to people in New York, is I'm so sick of snow. I'm so more snow. I don't blame them. It's very difficult to get around. Before you pay your heating bill, your big heating bill, because there was so much heat needed to take care of the freezing cold winter you had, 10% goes to an ani. 10% goes to tzedakah. Assuming you could afford it. That's pshat. Pshat is not, your money is not important to you. Your money is very important to you. And Chazal and the Torah recognize money is important to you. But we also understand there's a higher purpose. There's a higher mission. And we don't do things because, Nebuch! You know, it doesn't matter anyway, so I'll give the money to tzedakah. No. Money is important. It's important to me. But the mitzvah is even more important to me. And I want to close this shmooze with a bit of a focus on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the reason why I played to you the song before, the song, which is like a big hit in this country, and it actually inspires a lot of Jews around this country, the song from Aaron Raziel, Ani Kavati Et Moshavi, Po Beit HaMidrash. It's not because I wanted you to hear a nice song, whether you like the song or not, it doesn't really matter to me so much. But the message of the song, I think, is a beautiful message. The whole message of the song is exactly this message. The message is, you know what? I have a lot of things I could do. I'm a very, very talented guy. I can go here. I can get a job in that place. People are knocking down my door and saying, come do this, let's go do that. You know, it's a nice sunny day today, outside. Who wouldn't want to spend the day, present company included, who wouldn't want to spend the day going to a nice park, throwing around a ball, maybe a frisbee? Let's chill. Come on, we've been in the Beis Medrash for such a long time already. How many months, weeks after weeks, we're in the Beis Medrash already? Let's just chill out, let's relax. The answer is you're right. Theoretically, you're right. But there's something that's more important. Aval ani kavati et moshavi po Beit HaMidrash means not that I have nothing else to do, not that I'm a bored person who has no talents and no kohos, and okay, and for the nebuchs that can't give anything else to the country anyway, they sit and learn Torah. No. Chas v'shalom. Those nebuchs are very talented people, a lot of them. A lot of them can be the top doctors, top lawyers. And some of them are. And they still say, you know what, there's a higher priority. There's a higher purpose. There's something else that I have to do that's even more important than I have to do. And that is Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. That's why Chazal are so careful to tell us when they ask us, Kavata Itim HaTorah. You know what Kavata Itim HaTorah means? Did you set aside time for Torah? What kind of question is that? Here's the answer. There's so much to do. You're like, come on, Rebbe, what do I do now? I'll tell you what to do now. You guys are young, 18 years old, some just turned 19, whatever. You're young. Life is pretty, pretty simple now. As life moves on and gets more complicated, your time becomes less and less. Please God, to get married, to have families, familial obligations, and have a job, please God. There's so much to do, and there's only so many hours in the day. And Chazal come and say, listen, here's the trick. Steal time to learn. Grab time. Not because other things you have to do are not important. You know what? There could be a lot of things you have to do that are very, very important. Very important. But you know what? There are certain things that even trump those important things. There's certain things that are even more important than that. My brother-in-law is very, very close to a very, 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 keep going with the very, wealthy Jew that lives in Manhattan, New York. Very wealthy man. He's a multi-millionaire, is probably, I don't know how many multis, but he's a very, very wealthy-to-do Jew. A big Baal Tzedakah, Baruch Hashem, a tzaddik of a person. I met him actually once in my life. A very special Jew. He told me the following. My brother-in-law is very close to him. He told me, he said, this guy, he has a few hours a day that he's absolutely untouchable. No one can reach him. He goes into his office with a charusa, he closes the door, locks the door, no phones, no nothing. Come what may. He's not playing around with, like, you know, pocket cash like $100 or $200. Deals that come his way oftentimes are like, you want to buy a building in Manhattan for like $300 million. Not like $300 million. I don't know how to write that number even. How many zeros is that? It's a lot of zeros. Doesn't matter. Come what may, those hours it's not available. Why? Because he doesn't like money. He likes money, obviously. He's pretty good at making it, also. But he understands that, you know what? There are certain things in life that are even more important than money. Even more important than money. And you know what? If Hashem wants to make the money, he'll get the deal. He'll make the money. He'll make the money, Baruch Hashem. But ani kavati et moshavi, I understand this is a priority. Not because I'm nothing to do. I have so many things to do. There are so many things in life that I can't do. But to have the priority straight, to understand clearly what our job is to do, is so important. I want to disclose the following thing. We've been learning Mesillas Yesharim, most of us in the morning. We've been learning Mesillas Yesharim about the Perek Yitess, about the concept of Avas Hashem, which is the first thing in Chassidus that the Mesillas Yesharim talks about. And at the end of Perek Yitess, the short Perek before Yitess, he describes what Avas Hashem is, and he points out, it's basically, I'll read just a couple of lines. He describes the relationship that a person is supposed to strive for with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says it is that klolo shel davar, here's the rule of thumb, bein kol mi she'ava b'neim aza b'emes, when the love is really strong, shelo yomar lonis havesi yoseh, a person is not going to say, you know what, I wasn't commanded to do more, so I'll stop right here. Dai liv mashnis havesi b'feirish, it's enough to do what I was commanded to do. Elim mashnis taveh yadin al das az hametzaveh, from that which he was commanded to do, he'll realize, you know what, this is what I should be doing. He'll try to constantly do things that will bring nachas to his beloved, whoever the beloved is. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fellas, when it comes to performance of mitzvahs, this attitude, this perspective, this understanding is of utmost importance. Again, let's learn from this week's parasha. Vayavo ha'anashim al anashim, says the Unkelus, they wore their jewelry till the end to show this message. It was important to them. Jewelry is chashuv. But there are higher things in life that are even more important. I think if we have this perspective, and we appreciate this perspective, and we understand and internalize this perspective, so I think and I hope, Bez Hashem, our lives will be richer and richer. And perhaps the most important thing we'll learn from this is that if a person has his priorities straight in life, if a person understands what's really, really important in life, so then he understands how life should really, really be lived. He understands that, you know what? There are a lot of things that have to be done and have to get done and will get done. But Be'ez Hashem, he'll walk out. He'll be the person that goes through and gets to the finish line. Mamish on top, understanding and living the life really the way he's supposed to have it lived. Have a great Shabbos, Abosai. Good Shabbos.